So my name is Rip Dimansohan, and I will be talking today about a vestigial project we have that is looking at adding provenance support to MapReduce frameworks, and in particular the Hadoop MapReduce frameworks. In order to understand what we're going to be talking about today, I'm just going to give you a very quick, brief recap of MapReduce. I'm sure all of you here know about it. But in effect, MapReduce basically works by expressing all your data as a set of key value tuples and two functions, a map and a reduce. So effectively, what happens is that the programmer will specify these functions, and the programmer will specify these functions and call map and reduce. A map function takes a key value, produces a set of intermediate key value outputs. The reduce function will take these set of intermediate key value outputs and produce a set of final key value outputs. There are many systems that actually do MapReduce type processing, but they logically are structured in this kind of way, in which you've got the input, this gets split across different map tasks, the map runs, they produce their output, this output is kind of merged together, it's usually sorted an intermediate key and fed into reduce tasks that gives you the output. And the two key takeaways from this is that the fact that you get an input that produces an output in both the map and the reduce, so in this case, a single input that produces a list, and in the reduce case, a list which produces another list, gives you an implicit depends on or was created by relation. And we leverage this information to store provenance data. The second takeaway from this is that this actually is quite parallel, so there's no interdependencies between splits over here. And what that means is that in order to keep the design philosophy of MapReduce, you probably want to make sure that you store your provenance data in the same sort of way. Okay, so just a very quick high-level overview of what we are trying to do. So the basic goal of this project is that for any key value in the system, I should be able to say not only what map and reduce function led up to this creation, the creation of this output, but what intermediate key values were involved in its creation. And so why would you want to do that? As with anything in provenance, it's quite useful in order to validate and verify things. So when things go wrong, it's easier to find out why they went wrong or, to some extent, what went wrong. But additionally, we think that this is of particular interest because we think it could optimize subset processing. So there are a number of MapReduce type workloads where people will do some processing and then go, well, I want to actually do some incremental processing on a subset of the data, or I want to do some additional processing on a subset of the data. I want to send out a voucher for half off to everybody who's bought Justin Bieber CDs in terms of, the joke just died. I'll skip it. And then finally, we think that we could actually use this to tune the system itself. So an example of this is if I have a set of intermediate keys that are produced from a map task, and I have a source mapping between these. When I want to do subset processing, I can actually work out which segments were involved and maybe lay them out better across the available processors I have. But this, the third, is a more longer-term goal. We haven't actually explored that yet. We're not the first guys to think about this. So people have done this before. The RAMP project did it. There was work 2 years ago that looked at adding MapReduce to Kepler. But in particular, we're different in these four directions, in these four ways. So first, we're very tightly integrated and we're transparent from the point of view of the programmer. We don't rely on wrappers, we don't rely on callouts. Second, we're very eager, so we try and do as much logging as possible at a fine-grained level as possible. We don't actually shuffle the output that you get from the map tasks. We kind of assume that it'll always be available. I think this is a valid assumption given that most of these systems run on a distributed file system. And we don't actually do construct the provenance graph until you need it. So in the vein of keeping provenance as insurance, you're going to probably record a lot of provenance but use it not very often. And so how do we do it? It turns out if you set those properties up and you build a system to do this, it's really quite simple, right? So from the map point of view, you've got an input and you've got an output and you've got a position in the input stream for the key value and position in the output, and all you need is a tuple to take care of this by binding it. In particular, we have a problem for map tasks in that when you do a reverse lookup, because your outputs are not sorted, you need to very, in order to be able to quickly look up your input, you need some mechanism of lowering the computation time needed to do that, and we create an index. And this can be a bit of a problem, as I'll show you later. In terms of reduce, so a reduce actually is a set of stages. It's not just a reduce. So usually what happens is that the framework will fetch all the intermediate data. This is all usually unsorted. It'll merge sort it on disk to give you a sorted set of input keys that are then put into a reduce task that gives you your output. Again, as long as we are able to propagate the map ID that this that all keys came from across all these layers, we are able to just build a tuple that gives us the map ID, the input, and the output, and we have visibility across the reduce section. Couple that with the map, and you have complete visibility across the entire chain. Okay, so we went away and built a very naive, it's very, very naive, very simple system, and then ran some back of the envelope numbers. And this is the canonical kind of MapReduce workload. So we did a word count on Wikipedia, and I'll talk a little bit about the spatial and temporal overheads of our system. In particular, we find that there is a problem with the spatial overhead. So this is in the order of magnitude of the input data and is dominated by the map. And you'd expect this because we're doing very fine-grained logging at the key value level. The creating the map index itself can be quite expensive spatially, but there are tricks that you can use to get around that. It is, however, of concern. From the temporal overhead, we then measured what is the overhead of doing this with and without this support. And we have all sorts of numbers here. I'll try and explain them briefly. So the average map task across all our workloads added between 5 and 10%, as did the shuffle. The reduce is quite a lot higher, and that is because it's doing more I/O from the point of view of provenance. It's reading in old information that was created from the merge, and then associating it with the new key value stores that it basically is creating in the reduce. But the overall is quite low. And the reason for this, so this is a bit of a, well, not manipulated, but it's a bit of a, not fake, but I think the word is take it with a pinch of salt. So the basic point is that we're dominated by map here. And if we had faster machines, the reduce would become the bottleneck, so this would probably go up. But as a kind of a back of the envelope number, it's useful. Okay, so what next? It's a very vestigial project, like I said. It's a very simple implementation, and we want to try and do the usual bunch of systems tricks to try and reduce the spatial and temporal overhead. We want to try and feedback between the map reduce and the actual provenance construction, because right now we treat these as completely separate entities from the functional viewpoint. And I basically prefaced and motivated this by saying that we can do interesting things in terms of optimizing subset processing, but I haven't actually justified it, so I need to find some real-world use cases in which it makes sense to actually go away and find the provenance information to do subset processing as opposed to recomputing the whole thing. Okay, so the key takeaways from these are three. So it looks like this could be feasible. Key value lineage logging could be feasible. And at least it's not in the paper, but since then we have done some work and we have seen that for certain workloads that delaying provenance reconstruction until you absolutely need it for subset processing, again, could be feasible. I have a particular workload in mind. And then finally, I just wanted to say that this code will be made available. So if you want to use it to do interesting things yourself or you want to build on it, we're quite happy and we'll be willing to work with you. Thank you.